Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. We are 2 weeks out from the 7th annual Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference, where we will be raising up the voices, raising up the visibility, and raising up the businesses of over 100 extraordinary entrepreneurs. I love this time of year and I love this event. As I've been looking through the attendee list recently, I'm super jazzed about all the women who are going to be in the room. At least one smart man, change makers, movement makers, influencers, women who are making big things happen for our world. You can still join us. Check out the full speaker lineup and more at camigellner.com/ignite. We would love to have you join us. And speaking of extraordinary women, I am super thrilled to introduce you to Cindy Constable today. Cindy is in the business of helping leaders break the mold. She is the co-founder of Results Global Impact Consulting Agency, a boutique global digital marketing consulting firm designed to help leaders create a highly engaged customer base by utilizing the right types of digital marketing and strategies to fully engage the marketplace. Her agency work takes her to 15 countries a year for paid speaking and corporate consulting. Cindy is an accomplished public speaker, including her TEDx talk. Cindy brings traditional business practices that help entrepreneurs and high-level leaders not just make money, but build a business that scales. Let's meet Cindy Constable. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Cindy. It's so great to have you today.
Thank you so much, Cami. I'm so excited to be here. And I feel like this conversation has been a long time coming.
Yeah. And I know we tried to do it yesterday and you are in Puerto Rico right now. And you had a power outage there.
Yeah, which is pretty standard, fare here on the island. The grid is not as stable as it should be for all of the money that's been invested. But, like such is life, right? The further away you get from civilization, infrastructure is maybe less than what you're used to, living in the United States.
Absolutely. And I believe, what an experience you're living there, first of all. I mean, you're there for what, 6 weeks or something?
Yes, for 6 weeks we're going to be here. And so we're, full-time globetrotting nowadays. So this is our, current destination in Puerto Rico. And we have several more destinations to come over the years.
Oh my gosh. So you're trotting the globe right now.
Yes, we are fully independently, location independent, as we call it, versus, houseless or homeless, because those words have very different connotations. We sold our house, our cars, all of our stuff. Like, we don't even have a storage unit with stuff in it. Like, we sold everything and we're globetrotting. And I think our kids thought we were having a midlife crisis. So wait a second, what are you doing? We have 5 kids, 18 to 27, 2 grandkids, dogs, cats. That the kids
oh
own.
My gosh. And so where are some of the other places you're going to be going and have gone?
Well, we've traveled rather extensively. So my husband's been to, 83 countries.
Wow.
I've been to 25. So we're pretty well traveled, just generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And my husband was a digital nomad once upon a time before. So this isn't his first foray into this lifestyle. It is mine. I've been a fixture who liked to travel. But we've been a lot of places. I think the only continent I haven't stepped foot on is Antarctica. And that's we have plans to go there.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But there coming up, we're in Puerto Rico. We're going to then do some time in Europe next year. So we have Italy, Portugal, and France already scheduled for 2022. So we'll spend some time in Northern Europe next year.
Very good. Very good. That is so cool. And, talk about different life experiences and making a decision like you made. First of all, how did that feel when you actually made the decision that this is what we're going to do? We're going to sell everything and we're going to go do this. How did that feel?
Wow. Well, for me, it's actually been kind of heavy. We made the decision like in a moment's notice. It was very rapid. We were over the summer, we were on a cruise through the Mediterranean. We were cruising the Greek Isles. We had been to Spain, then went to Cyprus, and then took this Greek islands cruise. And while we were on the cruise, we were just, you know, people watching, observing, and we witnessed this elderly couple who had their grandkids with them. And their grandkids looked to be about, you know, like between 8 and 10, I'd say, a boy and a girl. And we have two grandkids, you know, a girl and a boy, who are 2 years apart, 2 years to the day. They have the same exact birthday.
Oh my gosh.
I know the odds. And they were kind of talking with their grandparents about how excited they were to be, you know, on this trip with them. And the grandparents were commenting about how happy they were to be able to provide this experience, but they were fairly elderly. Mm-hmm. And so when they got up from the table next to us to leave, the kids kind of had to help their grandparents up and kind of help them navigate. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wow, it just kind of hit me hard. You know, I was like, man, like so many people spend the entirety of their life working so hard for one day, for someday,
right,
for this future fun that they're going to have, you know, wishing, dreaming, hoping. And, you know, we have a location independent business. We've, you know, we work from home already anyway. So that didn't change anything for us as far as the, you know, the pandemic times. We don't need to have a home base. And our last kid graduated high school this year and went off to college. So nobody lives at home. You know, the oldest is married with two kids and owns their own home. And, you know, the others will be graduating college. So they're like kind of in stair-step succession. And we were like, you know, I looked at my husband and I said, with this big house, you know, 5 bedrooms, you know, all the things, pool, all the things, cars, you know, blah, 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 and stuff, you know, lots of stuff.
Right.
And I was like, what are we doing? Like, why do we need all of this stuff? Why do we need to stay in one place? And, you know, like we've traveled extensively. So it's not like we haven't been anywhere, you know, we've done, like, you know, I've seen the pyramids and, you know, like I've been to Mexico and I've been to, you know, Africa and I've been to, you know, Tokyo. Like I've done, you know, I've stayed in the huts in the Maldives. Like, yeah, I've done a lot of things. So it wasn't like I haven't lived a rich life or woven a beautiful tapestry so far. But the question then became like, why all the stuff and why the permanency in one place?
Right.
And why wait till we're like old, if you will, to really just go, go, go.
Right.
So, right, you know, my husband was like, okay, well, let's do it. So we did. We just got home from the cruise. We told our kids we were selling everything and going to travel the world. And they were like, okay. Like, what? Like, when you say, like, for how long, for how many months? And we were like, no, like, period.
We're doing this.
Yes. We're kind of giving the middle finger to consumerism and materialism and saying, we want to do it different. And, you know, and of course, there's lots of digital nomads, right? You know, but we felt like we were a little different because we weren't the 20-something bebopping around the world, getting freelance jobs and living in Bali.
Right.
And we weren't the one who, you know, saved up all their money and then retires in a cheaper country and lives on a fixed, you know, budget there in that cheaper country. We are middle-aged with grandkids and a business that we run, and we're just going to just do it from wherever. And so we just did. And it's been, you know, like we left October 1st. And so here we are, you know, a few weeks in. And it was heavy though. Like for me, there was a lot of tears and there still sometimes is, because feeling like I'm missing out. Like my grandson rolled over for the first time yesterday by himself. And I was like, oh, I missed it, you know, and then I had to remind myself that, well, lots of grandparents miss the day-to-day things because, you know, grandma lives in Michigan and, you know, and so, but it, so it's, you know, for me, it's been a lot of emotional release because the amount of attachment that you have to physical things is real. Like
exactly.
I cried real tears, paring down my closet, getting rid of our items, either selling or donating, and reducing myself to a suitcase and a backpack. Like,
sure,
it was real, like very, very emotional at times. And I still think I still have some stuff to process through that as I, you know, think about where I'm going to be and what I'm going to do and how long I'm away from home, if you will. And our kids live in various states, right? So my oldest daughter, her husband, and the grandbabies live in Florida. Mm-hmm. And my parents also live in Florida, and my grandmother, and my youngest daughter lives in Atlanta because she goes to Georgia Tech. My husband's kids live in Wisconsin because they all go to UW, and his parents live there because that's where he's from. So even when we're like in the States or when we're home, like, well, where is home? Because everybody's scattered anyway.
Right.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of emotion definitely that goes like along with the whole thing. But, you know, I'm excited to see how it all unfolds.
Absolutely. And the fact that you've just started it and you've just gone down this adventure, if you will. Mm-hmm. And what comes to mind for me is the word flow, because, you know, where you go, how you move is in such a flowing motion versus a, you know, here's the box that we live in.
Yes. I mean, and talk about, you know, expansiveness, right? And believing in abundance.
Right.
Because, you know, knowing that, like, I'm a world citizen is kind of how I see myself, because I don't live anywhere. I live everywhere and nowhere.
Right.
And I live where I am while I'm there, and I get to craft my experience and, you know, breathe in new cultures in a different way. Because for us, you know, having been on vacation a lot and traveled to a lot of places, that's kind of fast travel. Like, you're there for a week, you know, 10 days.
Right.
So you're kind of rushing through doing all the touristy things. So are you really like savoring the pasta in Rome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or are you just like Instagramming the pasta in Rome?
Right.
You know, and not that we have a YouTube channel, because we do, like, you know, we have our travel channel on YouTube. So yeah, of course we are going to capture this and document the process and help people understand like how we afford it and what we do and all the things, but we will have time to be there. Like, you know, normally you'd come, like, we're in Puerto Rico. So people would come to Puerto Rico. It's beautiful. You know, I am Puerto Rican, so this is my homeland. I have family here. You know, my parents were born here. But normally you'd come, you'd enjoy the nature, right? You'd go to the rainforest, you'd get to go see some waterfalls, you'd go to the beach, you'd view the fort in San Juan. You might hop over to Culebra or Vieques to see some of the islands. But then you'd go home, back to your normal, if you will, life.
Right.
But for us, I get to like savor it and look at it like you would like that slow cooker meal, right? Where you put it in the pot in the morning and 8 hours later, you come home to this delicious meal that's been simmering all day. So for us, the slow travel is that simmer.
Mm. And I love that you call it the slow travel and the fast travel, because it's so much of our life mirrors that. It's like, you know, it's the fast clothing, it's the fast food, it's the, you know, everything about life of the do is so busy. And I don't even use the word busy as in my own life. I don't use that word. I find other ways to talk about life being full. But what you're doing is really shifting, turning everything upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The whole paradigm. And, you know, and for us, it was the same. Like, we live in this microwave society, right? Everybody wants instant gratification. Mm-hmm. So no matter what it is you're looking for, you know, you want to lose weight yesterday. You want to have your business explode tomorrow. You want this, every piece of content you create to be viral. You want, you know, just, it's just now.
Yeah.
And the timeframes are so shortened. And for us, you know, it's like disruptive to travel slow.
Mm-hmm.
To not have the dream to be to own another car, another bag, another whatever piece of material item that you fancy. Or to, for me, you know, our crave is the experience and to really, really just breathe it in and not rush around and, you know, or just live like a local. You know, where do the locals eat and what do they do on any given Saturday versus going to the touristy spot?
How do this is so great. How do these, I mean, because I know you, so you work as you're doing this, and I'm guessing, I know you're only, you know, since October 1st into this, but just the whole process of stripping down all of the materials that you had, all the material items that you had, selling your house, your home, your cars, all those sorts of things. How has that impacted how you view business? And I know you help people in their businesses and you know, put their messages out into the world. How has that shifted how you are even perceiving business as a whole?
Well, for us, you know, the business part of our life has always been more pared down. You know, we have a service-based business. It's digital. It always has been. Our team is remote in different corners of the world, and that's always been the way that it's been. So for us, you know, taking that model of having less yet doing more mm-hmm. into our personal life, into our physical lives.
Interesting.
Was, you know, kind of the concept, because we, you know, we don't own assets and equipment. We have laptops, you know, have laptops, Wi-Fi, have microphones, some headphones, and we're good.
Right.
We're off and running.
Right.
You know, how can I apply that in my life? And obviously, you know, no shade to anyone who wants to own all of the things, you know, no, we will, you know, from an investment standpoint, yes, owning property and stocks and those kinds of things, kind of different story. I'm talking about like my day-to-day living.
Right.
And so for me, it was, how do I apply that lean yet profitable business model to my life? How can I make my life lean yet profitable? And for me, my definition of profitable was rich with experience.
Oh, I love that. I so love it. It really speaks to my heart. So tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
So I am the co-founder of Results Global Impact Consulting Agency. I co-founded with my husband. So I'm a strategist, I'm an international consultant, and I'm a speaker. And we specialize in communication. We help leaders. And for me personally, especially women, is my special place where I like to help women, non-binary, transgender, basically marginalized voices, to show up powerfully and drive the conversation by having their words published in the largest media publications in the world. And so it's kind of a spin on PR. You know, in the PR space, typically you're looking for someone to write about you, someone to quote you, you know, or do a spread, you know, on you. And for us, our little tiny niche of the interwebs is more focused on leveraging the media publication to kind of build your brand authority, increase your visibility, grow your revenue, and accelerate that brand awareness by you actually being the thought leader. So instead of someone quoting you in entrepreneur.com, you are the columnist in entrepreneur.com.
Nice.
So you are sharing your thoughts, your vantage point, your expertise with the world in a very long-term sustainable way. So it's kind of like you mentioned earlier, like fast fashion, you know, is buying the latest thing from Forever 21.
Right.
And
right.
To me, that's what PR is. PR is fast fashion. It's, where did I get the latest quote, the latest soundbite? Because that's what the world has been reduced to, a Twitter bomb, versus having a thoughtful article that's written with intent, shared from a place of, you know, expansion and highlighting your expertise over the long haul, because as a business owner, you want to be sustainable. Yeah. And if you're looking for SEO and backlinks, of course, you're going to get all those great things and brand authority, because you're going to have major media publications linking to your website through your byline. So for us, that's kind of our little corner of the world. And, you know, to date, we've helped just over 3,000 entrepreneurs get their words published in major publications across the globe.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know you're so, you talk about unmuting our voices and letting, I mean, it's, talk to us a little bit about what that means to you, unmuting our voices. Why you're so passionate about it. I mean, I think you're so passionate about it. So tell us more.
I really am. So for me, you know, and, you know, from the vantage point of, you know, my life experience, the threads that have built the tapestry of my life, you know, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a grandma. I've been a divorcee. I've been a widow. My, you know, prior husband, you know, passed away. I've been an employee, I've been a business owner, I'm a friend, I'm a cousin, I'm a sister. So in those roles, and, you know, from my vantage point, we live in a patriarchal capitalistic society. Mm-hmm. And the power structure of that society is not built for someone who identifies the way I do as a, you know, cisgendered brown woman.
Right.
And from the vantage point of marginalized communities in particular, your voice has to be muted. And from my experience, I'll give an example, like, you know, I am Latina. So my passion can be misconstrued as the angry Latina, right? That persona that someone assigns to you. Mm-hmm. And I want to help, you know, voices who have normally been marginalized, who have not been in the mainstream, who have not been pushed to the forefront, to learn how to have their thoughts, their ideas be what floods the airwaves.
Right.
That way it's not, we're no longer marginalized. And a lot of times you cannot be your whole self. You cannot express, you know, the totality of your person, you know, and this is especially true for like our, you know, LGBTQIA community. You know, how can I help them to express the totality of who they are and find the right publications in which to do that so that they can unmute their voice and really say what needs to be said?
So good. And I think it's as that happens and every person is able to show up holistically, that truly shifts our world in the long term.
It really does, because, you know, when you are not able to be who, you know, you were put on this planet to be,
right,
that slowly chips away at your soul.
Right.
At who you are as a human. And, you know, we see the incidence of depression and disease and all of these things manifesting in the physical because we're denying our true selves.
Right.
So I want to help people who don't always have the same opportunity to do that, to be able to embrace their whole selves and find their authentic voice, you know, turn off the mute button and to facilitate those heavy conversations that are actually freeing.
So good. How did you develop? I know you are so passionate about words. How did you develop your love of words?
Oh gosh, I think that's been from like a young age. Like my mom tells stories of how I would like devour books as a child. You know, she'd be like, "Don't you want to go outside and play with your cousins?" And I'm like, "Just one more chapter, mom." And for me, you know, as a young person growing up pre-tech, right? Mm-hmm. in the world pre-tech, you know, when we were kids, there was no such thing as the internet. So a book was escape.
Right.
It was imagination realized. Like the person who wrote the book had the courage to unmute their voice, put those words to paper, and put their art out there for others to appreciate. And when you read the words, you get to paint the pictures with your mind of what those characters look like or ingest that information. If it's a, you know, a nonfiction book or a business book or self-help book, to help reshape your own life. And so I've always been in love with words from that vantage point. And then as I grew into adulthood and I, you know, entered the corporate sphere and, you know, worked in the realm of finance for 28 years, I've been a corporate finance officer, a government finance officer, you know, done legal and all kinds of things, you learn that words have power.
Right.
And I worked in government legislative issues for, gosh, almost 20 years, and understanding the power of a comma or a particular word in a piece of legislation changes how that is applied. You know, when the courts look at it legalistically, how are they applying it? You know, does it say shall, or does it say may, or does it say will? You know, all of those things matter. And then as you look to how words are used as propaganda, and you are shaping a nation, and you're shaping a narrative, and you're shaping a message, and your words are used to otherize whole communities of people.
Right.
So that terrible atrocities can be committed because they've been otherized. And all of that is done via words, and they matter and they carry weight, you know, which we're seeing now in the LGBTQIA plus communities movement for the proper, you know, gender classification to be gendered properly, to use the proper pronouns for someone. Because you know, it's tied to the words, they matter. And if you call someone something, you know, if you use a derogatory term, like the words really make a difference. So for me, helping people to take those communications, those words, and shape them and educate others via this medium that we have of language is like, I can't think of anything more powerful.
And I mean, we've seen such a prolific, poor use of words over the past several years. And so helping people see things through a different lens and helping people choose their words more carefully can, again, once again, it's that changing the world. If we start to be more aware, if we choose our words more consciously, it can be so important. And this whole love of words for you has also really, I mean, it helps your clients. So tell us how that flows into the work you do with your clients.
So for us, it helps our clients by having them have the ability or the understanding of how to have their words disseminated to an even larger audience. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays, you know, everybody's on social media, right? And unfortunately, depending on the social media platform that you're choosing, you know, the way the algorithm is geared is you're seeing same. More of the same. So you're kind of stuck in the sea of sameness, because if you like a certain type of content, you interact with a certain type of content, you just see more of that. So it creates just this echo chamber, you know, for you.
Right.
And the large media publications like, you know, Forbes, Inc., Entrepreneur, Business Insider, Fortune, you know, Fast Company, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, all places our clients write for and that we write for, they reach a broader audience. So for me, when I look to the small business owner who is, for me, what a small business owner is doing is they are creating their own economy, which is disruptive to the system. Because if you are not, you know, a slave to the way the system is designed, you can create your own economy, create your own money that allows you to do things differently. And in other countries that are less prosperous than the United States, the ability to create your own economy can be the difference between, you know, poverty and being able to live on a daily basis.
Right.
And so by taking your knowledge, your skills, your abilities, and turning those into content for these larger publications allows our, you know, client to be able to reach more people without cost, because, you know, to advertise your business, there's cost, right? You have to run Facebook ads and Instagram ads and these kinds of things. For publications, they are reaching a broad audience. And I'm talking, you know, these publications have multiple millions of unique views a month. They're pushing your article out to their entire email list. Most publications have repurposing agreements with other publications where it's picked up and run by other publications as well. So you're just reaching tens of millions of people without a cost to the small business owner. And in some cases, the publications actually pay for the content, like Forbes pays their writers, you know, Business Insider, Fortune, you know, Success, Inc. A lot of these publications pay their contributors. So it's also a way to add either an active or a passive income stream, depending on whether they pay per article or based on page views. So it's just an addition to what a small business owner may be already doing, because they cannot see, say, as seen in the Facebook newsfeed, but they can say, let me point you to the article I wrote on this topic in entrepreneur.com.
Right.
Or let me point you to my Forbes column where I talk about this on a weekly basis.
Right. So much credibility with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's just a brand positioning that you don't get in other ways, because you are borrowing the credibility of that publication. And then of course there's, you know, thousands of publications, and, you know, we want our clients to ensure that they are writing for the right publications where your audience would be going. You know, are you like a tech person, which means you should be writing for like Mashable or TechCrunch or something? You know, are you, you know, in a particular industry, do you do HR recruiting? Then you should be writing for Careers or Ladders.com, you know. You don't necessarily need to write for Business Insider, because that's not where your client is. So helping them understand even the industry mags, you know, we have some clients who write for, you know, the Harvard Business Review, depending on what it is you do. So for us, it kind of crosses all industry, because there's a publication for your industry.
Right. Right. I like this. And I know one of the things you say is that being intentional means determining a strategy before you employ tactics. I mean, I mean, there's so much fast marketing out there. I mean, talk about fast, you know, all these different ways of being fast in our lives, and fast marketing. Here's the five steps to go do this, go do, you know, use these tactics and you will be successful, which is so ugly. And when we start with strategy first, we can determine, you know, which direction we go. So talk to us a little bit how you help your clients dig into the strategy that's going to be right for them to, you know, to help guide them.
Yeah. So from my vantage point, yeah. So tactics, and this is what you hear, right? People are like, what's the one thing I can do to make, you know, six figures? Well, if it was one thing, we would have all done the one thing.
Exactly.
I'll be there. What's the one thing I can do to lose 10 pounds today?
Yeah, it drives me crazy. Totally drives me crazy.
And, you know, we're looking for that overnight success, which just doesn't exist, you know, period. But for me, so the strategy is like, for, you know, and I'll ask, what do you want publications specifically, because that's what we work with, to do for your business? What is your desired outcome? You know, do you want to get more clients? Do you want to grow your email list? Do you want to sell your books? Do you want to book corporate clients? Because then you need to write in a totally different place. Like, what is the outcome you want to have? Do you just want to bring brand awareness? Maybe you just love to write and you're like, I don't care, I'm a writer, I just love to write. Or maybe you've got somebody on your staff who's writing because you don't love to write, or you've hired a ghostwriter. So you need the articles to actually at some point pay for themselves. So we're going to help you pitch for different publications that would pay you versus, you know, free publications. What do you want the outcome to be? And then understanding who their target market is, you know, how often do they want to contribute? You know, what do they want the outcome to be? So there's a whole list of questions that we're going to go through, because if, you know, you're a real estate investor and you want to teach other people how to do real estate investing, well, you know, we're not going to have you, you know, pitch Self Magazine because nobody cares over there. We're not going to have you pitch Redbook because that's not where the audience is. So it's about really knowing what you want the outcome to be. And from there, we can determine, okay, well, then this is your best course of action. And then how much can you commit? Because it is work. And these publications, thankfully, nowadays are multimedia. So you have written audio or video content. So it's not like you just have to write articles. You can submit audio, video, you know, you could submit a combination thereof. You can get your podcast syndicated. So there's all kinds of things that can be done. So, but it's understanding what that business is about, what their goals are, what constraints they have to work with. Because for me, you know, if one more productivity person says, you know, just do these five things and you'll be so productive, or one more person just says, you know, manifest and you can have whatever you want, I'm going to say, you know what, we need to take into account actual human circumstances that people are dealing with in their business. Do you have team? Do you not have team? You know, how often can you write? Like, what does your home structure look like? You know, if you're going to write for a certain publication, they're going to put you on deadline. Do you have the ability to make those deadlines? So not only do we want you to be successful in pitching and getting in, we want you to be successful in maintaining that contributorship.
Right.
So that it doesn't fall by the wayside later. So there's a lot of facets that go in. Now, the how to get in is the same. Like if somebody's pitching Business Insider, you do it the same way every time because their process, their editorial guidelines are X. If you're pitching CEO World, their editorial guidelines are clear on the website. This is how you do it. So the tactics part for me is always the easy part.
Right.
But it's whether or not those tactics apply to your business is where the strategy piece comes in. So we need to, you know, understand those pieces first. So then you can know which tactics are the right ones for you to use.
So good. So good. So tell me about the myth of entrepreneurship.
Oh, goodness me. Well, I always joke that I have this love-hate relationship with the internet. And
yeah.
I love the internet because the barrier to entry, you know, for business is low.
Right.
And I hate the internet because the barrier to entry for business is low. So anyone can hang a shingle, call themselves a business, and, you know, away they go.
Right. Exactly.
And so for me.
And you see you see it on both sides.
You do. You see it on both sides all the time. You know, and for me, the myth is that if you've made some money on the internet, you have a business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not true because a business is a system of systems. And building a business without strategy is just plain foolish.
Right. So true.
And so if you're just, you know, anyone really can make money on the internet. If you have a good offer, you could put it on your Facebook page right now. And if somebody needs your great offer that you crafted, they can buy it and you've made money on the internet. That doesn't mean that you're running a business, you know, because you've got, you know, filing forms and IRS regulations and licensing requirements and, you know, HR labor laws, if you're going to grow a team and all of these things, you know, systems and operations that go into running a business from a, you know, long-term perspective, you know, strategic planning and revenue planning and, you know, all of these different things. So for me, that's kind of the myth that if we made some money on the internet, we're running a business.
Right. And so you really have got to step back and expand on this. What makes it a business? What's the piece that somebody, you know, who has just thought, you know, I've been making some dollars on the internet, we'll just go that direction. What would you say to them? Or what's the one piece of advice you'd give to them?
I would ask them probably first, like, what is your end game?
Yeah.
Where are you trying to go? So are you trying to, what type of business do you own? Do you one day hope to sell this business? Because then the way that you set it up and run it is going to be very different than if your plan is to just serve a handful of people, make some extra dollars on the internet, and, you know, go forth and be happy.
Right.
And so there's a, you know, a difference between client attraction, business development. You know, so when you're looking at client attraction, that those are the inbound activities, right? Publishing articles, content marketing. When you're looking at, you know, business development activities, those are outbound activities, you know, all types of pitching, speaking gigs, publications, podcasts, you know, RFPs, bids, things like that. So if you're in business to, you know, get business, you have to start building those habits from the start that support your desired outcome. And so for me, that's where the question is, what is your desired outcome from the business? And so let's, you know, put it together in a way that supports that desired outcome.
Very good. Very good. What are your biggest lessons you've learned as an entrepreneur?
Ooh, so many. Let's see. Well, that one, I would say that building a business is harder than it looks. You know, I have a long corporate background and I joke that, you know, my staff really made my old world easy. Because, you know, I'm sitting in the C-suite, you know, with 2,000 employees and I've got, you know, a few dozen who report to me. And And having someone to assign those tasks to makes a hell of a lot of difference.
Oh, absolutely. I always say I miss my IT team the most, I mean, right?
Seriously. Oh my gosh. When I have to fix something with my website, I'm like, what the crap is this? This is a scam.
Yeah.
Why do I have to understand WordPress? Normally I just, you know, buzz IT and be like, hey, this something is not happening here. Can you come mash a button or do something to help me fix this? But also, understanding like the establishment of everything from ground zero. Because in those big corporate businesses that I ran and the big governmental structure that I ran, the system was already created,
it was all there.
And so my job was to optimize it. So when I look at business, it's going to be stabilize, optimize, and then expand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of small business owners, you know, or entrepreneurs, are trying to scale and expand, but they haven't stabilized or optimized because they're hearing, oh, scale to 7 figures or scale to 8 figures now is the new buzz term. But they haven't stabilized or optimized. And so as a small business owner, I had to like set all that stuff up myself. And I was like, oh no, wait a minute. I can't hire a VA until I have created the SOPs.
Right. Right.
And I have to create those.
Yeah. And I think it's this whole process of being able I came out of the corporate executive world and it was like, I thought, you know, I have all these talents, all these skill sets to be able to build a business. And it's been my biggest growing and learning and stretching and evolving process more so than anything I've ever done in my life.
Oh, absolutely. It's same. You know, I had done, you name it, like there wasn't anything I didn't understand or couldn't do. And as a small business owner, I'm like, am I an idiot? I think I'm stupid. I think I was overestimating how smart I really was because it's a totally different challenge when like it's from ground zero.
Absolutely.
And then you buy a software and you're thinking, oh, this software is going to be great. And you spend money and you have somebody help you set it up. And then you start to use it and you're like, oh, crap. Dang it.
And how do I connect it to this other system I needed, right? How do I make things work together?
Yeah. And I got to zap what? Zapy? Yeah,
exactly.
No. Where's Brian from IT?
Right. Like, exactly.
Crying in my cornflakes, mm-hmm. You know, or like, you know, I always joke my assistant, you know, when I retired from the city, her name was Celeste and I absolutely love her. And she was the person who kept me sane. And I tease my husband all the time and I'm like, I miss Celeste.
Please come back.
I'm screwing this up.
Yeah.
Like, who left me in charge of my own calendar? Because look at this mess. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's so funny. That's so true. I totally get it.
Us old corporatees were like, oh crap. Yeah. This is hard.
It's good though. It's good. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, I think that's the beauty of it. It's just so wonderful to get to do the journey that we get to do. And we're learning every day. So awesome. Absolutely. Where can people learn more about you and your business, Cindy?
Well, you can find me on all the socials by my name, Cindy R. Constable, on Facebook, IG, Twitter, LinkedIn. You can go to our website, rgicai.com. That's our website. And you can see what we have to offer there. And, you know, if you heard me on the radio show, go ahead and send me a ping and say hi. Tell me where you're finding me from.
Awesome. Awesome. And you can tell them where you're happen to be. Where in the world is Cindy right now?
That's right. Exactly. I'll be like, there was that show, like, where's Waldo?
Or whatever. Yeah, that's exactly. Me. Like,
where's Cindy right now? So
yeah.
And when you're hearing this, I may be somewhere else. So
that's right.
Or you can also, you know, find us on our YouTube channel, Globalpreneur.
Oh Life. Yeah.
So that's our.
I'm glad you said that because I do want to go follow that. I want to listen to that. That'll be fun. The final question I always close with are, what 3 pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Oh, okay. Well, I think the first one I want to leave you with is, you are a soul having a human experience. And when you feel like you've screwed up, I just want you to think to yourself, wow, that was beautifully human. So that's the first thing. So whatever think you've screwed up is beautifully human. And that's the way that is.
That makes me smile.
Yes. So that helps eliminate shame and guilt because we're beautifully human. Mm-hmm. Number two, I would say as a small business owner, it is imperative that you understand your finances. You know, I come from a 28-year finance, history career. So it might be easier for me to say that, but I think as a small business owner, especially as women or marginalized communities, I want you to understand your finances. You don't need to have a finance degree, but you need to be able to read a cash flow statement and a profit and loss statement so that you can make decisions for your business based on data and not emotion or the latest tactic. So understand your finances. That's two.
Yay.
And third, I want you to remember that rest is revolutionary. That your ancestors' greatest desire was probably to rest. So do not allow yourself to be caught up in the busyness drug craze where you need to be booked and busy, because that is not how you want to roll. You want to have white space on your calendar, not just on your to-do list, but you want white space on your calendar.
My favorite. That's awesome. So good. Well, Cindy, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for bringing all this good wisdom and your stories. And I'm going to keep following you wherever you're going around the world and see how this continues to unfold for you.
Thank you so much. And this was such a good time. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Have a good day. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.